Welcome back, folks, to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. Seabro's back again. I think you guys remember that they were on the show again with Peter Sixth and Dr. Mike Krames, and today we're honored to have Dr. Anne Behrens from Seabro. She's a background in chemistry and a PhD in nanomaterials science. She likes to work on dynamic teams, and she's going to tell us a little bit about her research at Seabro. She has a great team there, and we're going to talk about, yes, the health effects of lighting, and to reintroduce to you quickly Dr. Mike Krames. He's been in lighting for a long time. You guys know him already if you listen to this show. They both work for a company called Seabro. So that's Seabrough.com. And we're going to talk about sunled.health. That's another product they've come out with, and we're going to talk about some of the research. But Greg, Eric, before we get to this podcast, which we've been anticipating and looking forward to since the last time we talked to Dr. Krames, and now we have Dr. Behrens with us. What do we got to do? We got to go to TCPI.com. That's right, Technical Consumer Products. What do you got, Greg, Eric?
Well, you got to live the good life if you can, right? And you can do that with TCP. And I live the good life at my house. I use their bulbs, actually. That's their R30s. I have them all over my house. They're warm dim. They also have them in decoratives. They have them in globes. And it's 27K. As you dim it, it goes down to 1800. And they also have one that's 32K. But all the different bulbs, perfect dimming. Perfect relaxation, perfect reading, the good life, TCP.
You know what? That is a good product. And you know what I always say? Let the good times roll with TCP, baby. That's right. Go to TCPI.com. Of course, the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. That's NAILD.org. We got a convention coming up in September. We got all sorts of great stuff. If you're a lighting distributor and you're in Canada, United States, you should join the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. Welcome back, Dr. Mike Krames. And welcome to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast, Dr. Anne Behrens.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Michael,
good to have you guys back.
Yeah.
So we you know, our last one, 289, it was back in November when we recorded last. And I did have to listen back because I remembered our discussion. I remembered we needed to get back into it. And we left it right at the end where we're like, we didn't even talk about the health effects of lighting. And that's something that you guys are very into. So that's what we're going to do today. So I don't know who wants to open it up on your end, but why don't you give us a little background on the sunled program you're doing?
Anna, kick it off.
Yes. Sunled, indeed. We chose this name because we were inspired by an only source of natural light, the sun. When you look at the solar spectrum, so all the light that is coming from the sun, and you compare it to the light that we experience normally when we are indoors, there's actually a big difference between those two spectra. And there's a lot of light that we are missing out when we're indoors. And my program investigates, well, what are we exactly missing and what is the best way to bring that light, especially near infrared light that we are researching, in the built environment to make people healthier and happier. And because that is the effect of near-infrared light on people. It's super healthy, but we normally don't experience a lot of it.
So hang on a second. Let me just clarify. What Dr. Behrens was talking about there is the near-infrared spectrum, which is something that is in incandescent light, I believe. Is that correct, Dr. Behrens?
Yes, that's correct. Although the light intensity in the near infrared part that is coming from the incandescent lights or lamps is not enough to actually induce this biological effect. So you need higher intensities to actually have these health benefits.
Okay. And Greg, I want to ask some technical questions about this, okay? Because I'm just going to go right into my, and you know what, I've made myself look like an idiot before, so it wouldn't be the first time, okay? But is near infrared light, is that heat? Is it just like really a type of heat?
No, it's not heat. No, for heat effects, you should go much further to the infrared, then you will get the heat effect that you receive in infrared saunas, for example. Mm-hmm. Near infrared is not a heating effect, but it's also invisible. So it's you cannot see it and you don't feel it as heat, but still it interacts with the cells in our body, and it induces all kinds of positive effects there.
And our body experiences this as waves colliding into us, correct?
Yes, you could see it like that. Yes.
And so when we don't have this in our light, we're it's all it's it, it's we're experiencing an absence of something that creates a positive impact on our health.
Yes, correct.
Okay, I understand near infrared light. I hope all the listeners out there get it too, because I didn't. I just wanted to be clear about that, because I actually believe that saunas were invented because in northern climates, because they give a positive health impact. And one of those things is like these weird waves striking our bodies and causing things to happen inside of us. And I truly believe that there's something about the waves of the sun striking our bodies that we don't understand fully. Can you fill me in on a little bit more of that, Dr. Behrens?
Yes, so I think there's a lot of rays coming from the sun that we don't actually understand yet what it's doing with our bodies. So of course, everyone understands we need visible light to see the world around us. On the UV part, people know that well, it's in low doses good for you because you get some vitamin D production started. On the other part of the spectrum, the longer wavelengths, the near infrared part, there is particularly still many questions what it exactly does. And our research clearly shows that near infrared induces all kinds of both physiologically, so really molecules that are being produced in our bodies or being less produced, but which makes our bodies more healthy, but also mentally. So we see that people have a better mood when they experience near infrared light, and they feel less drowsy during the day, so less sleepy. And you know, the exact pathway is still something that we are researching. So what happens from the moment that those cells are hit by near infrared light to those end effects that we can measure? How does that pathway look like? There's a lot of research going on in that area, but it's clear that it has a major effect. And then when you go even further to the longer wavelengths, you end up in the infrared regime, and those waves create heat in our bodies. And that is also a very nice experience, but that is outside the our research fields.
I've often postulated, I think it was the Canadian doctor, I can't remember her name, so awful. My memory is not good with names, but she's a Canadian lighting scientist. And she I kind of came across this idea that light is like a type of communication with living things. Like it in a way it tells our bodies to do certain things. It tells us when the light goes away, we're supposed to sleep. When it comes back, we're supposed to wake up. When we go out in it, when we're in it, we feel better and our bodies start producing vitamin D. And when we're not in it, our bodies start to fail or they start to not operate correctly or something. It's almost like this idea that light is communication, a type of physiological signal or cue to do things. And you've discovered this secret sauce, Dr. Behrens. Like you've unlocked the key to this, the secrets of the universe, to this language.
I'm not sure if I would make that statement. So you know, in the end, it's correct. Light is much more than only what we need to see the world around us. So indeed, it has all these beneficial, all these biological effects on our bodies. And what you say is absolutely correct. Visible light is very important to give us our bodies the cues to wake up or go to sleep. But it turns out that there's many other effects related to invisible light that is still coming from the sun towards us. And that is well, a very important aspect to start realizing that and to make sure that we actually start re-experiencing this light again. Because, well, people should be aware that when you walk in the sun, you experience this full solar spectrum. But when you live your life indoors, not only is the visible light level much lower, you're also not experiencing any near infrared light indoors. It's not part of our lamp lights. It's blocked by windows. So it's really important that we find a way to bring this light back into our lives. And we did that.
Before we get into the some more of the research and that, Dr. Krames, your colleague is telling us that we're fish figuring out that we're in the water here with this light thing.
Nice analogy.
Tell me a little bit about your piece with respect to this and what your thoughts are before we dig a little deeper.
Yeah, I'm working with Anna and figuring out how we can actually make use of this information in a practical way. So as she pointed out, earlier back in history, okay, when we evolved in caves and going outside and experiencing the direct sun for, who knows how much time during the day, but quite a bit. Even in recent years, we've had buildings where you had glass panes that were not coated, so you could get solar radiation, much of it through the window pane. And with the desire to reduce the energy consumption, on the planet and have comfortable built environments where we're going for net zero, platinum LEED buildings and this sort of thing, which requires that coatings be put on windows to block thermal radiation. Not everywhere, but in many places. And we looked at those coatings and we found out that they also block near infrared light. And it's not good. If we look at the clinical study that Anna spearheaded with a couple other partners in Europe that we'll probably mention later in more detail, it suggests that if we are not experiencing this light on some regular basis, then it's probably not good for our health. And so we're engineering the built environment to be, frankly, a bit dangerous from a lighting standpoint. And Michael, I think it possibly was Jennifer Veach you mentioned, the lighting scientist in Canada.
Correct. Yeah.
So she was mentioning circadian rhythms. And that's also where we realized in recent years that that's very important. And it has been set by our clock has been set by the sun, bright blue light in the morning and then, dimmer, redder light during the day. So this is a new aspect, this whole infrared thing. There's been a lot of interest in the past on, phototherapy, things that can grow your hair. It didn't work for me. wound healing and other types of things. And so we looked at that a little bit more practically. Okay, well, what if this stuff really works? And number one, does it work? If it does work, then what can we do with that information? And the really exciting thing that Anna and the team discovered with the results of the study is that we can deliver meaningful health effects in a practical way based on what we found in the clinical study. So if you, let's say you live in a place where you don't see the sun, or you live in a windowless room or even in a windowed room with a coating like mine are, and you aren't getting outside, that's not good for you. But we can bring infrared light practically to you and hit the dose levels, the intensity of the waves at that frequency of light that are needed to induce positive health effects. In a practical way, we can put them in the built environment, in the lighting, or also in personal devices around you in a practical way. And here's the kicker: using infrared devices, both LEDs and lasers with diffusers, which are safe, by the way, using those emitters that exist today, they're made for 3D sensing and other applications. So we don't need to invent some, brand new semiconductor technology. We have it already. And it's just a matter of deploying it in the right way. And that's very exciting.
Greg, Eric, you look skeptical, bud. I mean, I'm going to say...
I'm just curious, yeah.
I'm going to put it over to Greg here, but I mean, this is some seriously... humility is so important. I mean, us humans, in our egos, we think we know it all. And then we discover as we go along these things that we were missing, Greg. Where do you want to take this thing? These folks have a moral obligation to spread this message. If this is true,
right,
it's not only a business proposition, it's a moral obligation, actually. Greggy, take it. I gotta turn my mic off here, otherwise my brain's gonna explode.
Yeah, so what I'm trying to figure out, and I have your website open too, I'm kind of looking at it, but is it an actual LED chip that can do all of this? And then it's just a matter of implementing it, like you said, in lighting or personal devices, or what exactly are the components that this consists of?
I can give I give a couple of numbers to kind of help orient people. So here's the trick. We talked about the intensity of the sun, right? You need to get this effect, you need kind of a lot of light. The trick is you don't need it all the time, but it needs to be at a high enough level when it's on to actually induce the effect. That intensity level is about 7 times more light power in the infrared than you would use for a 500 lux lighting design. That's a lot. So if you said, I want, you know, healthy infrared in this room 24/7, whenever the lights are on, it would cost it basically 7 times more than the cost to light the room. And that's really tough to argue for anybody. So you're probably not going to get people to sign up for that. But the great thing is there's 2 aspects. It doesn't need to be on all the time. Okay. So if we had that level of light, you would only need it on 2 hours a day, number one. And number two, you don't need it everywhere. It's a systemic effect. And Anna will explain to you a little bit later what that means, but we don't have to irradiate the entire body. You don't have to buy a wall of infrared LEDs, you know, and stand in front of it, you know, 10 minutes a day. You don't need to do that. We just need to irradiate a reasonable surface area. It looks like the face and the neck is enough, which is about 5% of your surface area of your skin. And because of that, because it's directed and we don't need it all the time, we can reduce the total energy cost of delivering healthy infrared light to a small fraction compared to lighting. That's the trick. That's why this can actually happen. And you could even imagine having the infrared light in personal devices like phones and laptops, or if you have an illuminator right now on you for this show, right? Or a Zoom camera, you could have it there as well.
So it is an LED chip though, this device or this unit or the technology you guys have created, or what exactly is the component?
You can use LEDs, you can use lasers with diffusers. The trick is to direct the light and to modulate it so that we get these high intensities when they're needed, and then they're off when they're not needed.
It's just the LEDs you have now, and it's just the intensity of it. You're not saying there's something unique about the LED itself.
The LEDs, thankfully, and this is what I was trying to mention before, have been developed for other applications in the past, like 3D sensing, infrared camera illuminators. These sources exist. All we have to do is to use optics to direct them appropriately to the face, and then drive them at a high enough intensity so that they induce this effect in a modulated way. So there's tricks in the driving as well. And before, in case somebody asks, this is completely eye safe. We're very, very far away from any safety issues here. The sun puts out a ton of infrared light and we're quite used to it. So there's no issue with safety here whatsoever.
And I know I get kind of deep in the weeds here, but I like to think about what exactly would be in a facility or in my office. So you're saying it would shine right at my face and I'd have to be looking at it, or it'd just be kind of glowing around me and the effects of it would do it?
If you want to keep it energy efficient, you would want to direct it to your exposed skin. And normally the face is exposed. It wouldn't have to be like right in front of you. It could be off to the side. It could be in a, right now you're probably looking at a monitor or camera or something like that. It could be something that's connected to that. It could be to an illumination device that's close to you, like a desk lamp. That's what Anna and the team chose to use for the clinical trials were desk lamps, actually. Basically, things that are closer to you. The farther away the light source, the more difficult it is to do efficiently because, you know, it has to kind of know where you are. And we have had ideas about tracking systems and things like that. Actually, it may make sense in some time in the future to think about those things. But early on, we don't have to be quite so sophisticated and
so,
still get a positive effect.
So, hey, customer, yes. You see that light that isn't on over there? Yeah, it looks like it's off to me. Yeah, no, you can't see anything coming out of it? Yeah, that's a magic light that's going to improve your health. This is going to be so hard to sell, Greg. The light's not on. It's on. No, it's on. Trust me, it's on.
Well,
it's
on. Well, is it on? It's, you said it's not visible.
Yeah, they're not the going to see anything. They're going to. It's like, yeah, we're going to put the magic light that you can't see. I'm going to shine it on you, and you're going to be healthier. Like, I mean, I believe you, Dr. Brands. I believe you. But I mean, I sell light fixtures to people every single day, and nobody's going to want to buy a light they can't see. It's on. Don't worry. It's on. It's hitting you. Do you feel better now?
That's a question for the marketing team there, Anna. I believe you're spearheading the marketing team.
Yes, I guess. So, no, of course, I mean, there should be some user feedback, right? So, and most infrared LEDs have some tilt going to the visible. So you see a red, nice red glow. Mm-hmm. So you can see it's on. And the best thing is that you will feel better and happier. And that is, of course, the strongest unique selling point of our technology, that, if you wear a smartwatch like me, you will see your resting heart rate dropping you will have a better mood, which is great most of the time.
You can also see it, Michael and Greg, if you take a simple camera with an IR filter, mm-hmm. you can see, you know, very easily that it's on. Which is kind of a cool effect. We've had to do that for a few people live, and it, you know, people are like, wow, you know, kind of surprised because you are lit up quite brightly by the infrared, even though you don't see it so much, but your camera has no problem seeing it.
So we could demo it on the screen, maybe Scott or something, but I'm seeing the lamp or the table lamp that you have. It has the light out the top, and then on the bottom is this ray shooting out at me right now. Do you need the light above too, or do you just do that because it's practical to have a desk lamp?
Yes. So no, the visible light is just there for the normal desk lamp function. You could also leave it out. Yes.
Okay. So
and that's what we do when we. That's what we do when we integrate it in a laptop, for example. You can imagine that you can put some near infrared LEDs next to where normally the webcam is located, and then there is no visible light. There's some coming from the laptop display, but there's no need for a lamp function.
So this is, I love the lighting industry. I mean, people, they talk about consumer electronics being innovative. Lighting is where it's at, bud. There's so much innovation right now in the lighting space all over the place. And you know, when it comes to cueing, when it comes to, you know, what you're talking about here with the infrared, circadian, and this is a very, very important space for the future of humanity. How do you know this is true, Dr. Brenz? Like, tell me your research. Why are you're confident in this? You're working for a private company, you know, like, but tell me why you think this is, or like a corporation, you know, why should we believe you? What do you know about this that you need to tell the world about?
Well, we started this project with a lot of literature research. So from the 1960s, people are researching the effects of red and near infrared light on health of people. So there's quite a large body of scientific literature out there. And more importantly, our technology was tested by two independent research organizations in the Netherlands, the University of Groningen, and a spin-out of the university called Grono at Work. And they did a clinical study that, you know, met all the scientific criteria. It was double-blind, randomized, placebo-controlled. And they tested our technology in real people. They were not diseased, generally healthy people, and they saw statistically significant health effects in these people while they were using our lamp. This happened immediately at the first and second day that people were sitting in front of our lamp. You already see significant effects on resting heart rate, on their mood, and then these effects become even stronger after 2 and 4 weeks. These results got published end of 2022 in a scientific journal, so it's open access, so everyone can read it and see the scientific evidence for themselves. But this is the main reason that I'm very confident about this, that independent scientific researchers found these effects to be significant.
And how did
just going to make a quick point about the resting heart rate, talking about is this working? You know, that's an interesting one because that can be measured. You know, if you're wearing like a Fitbit or some other device that's measuring your heart rate, that can be measured. Anna, tell them about that statistic you found about resting heart rate, which I had not heard before. It's kind of alarming, but also exciting that we can do something about it.
Yes, so resting heart rate is an important indicator for physical health. Many people know that when you get a cold or you had a couple of beers too many the night before, your resting heart rate is a bit higher the next day. But it's in fact also an important indicator for really general health or a risk indicator for bad health. Resting heart rate is the lowest heart rate you have in a 24-hour cycle. So it's usually measured during the night or in the very early morning when you're asleep. And it is shown that there is very strong correlation between resting heart rate and, for example, cardiovascular disease or risk for cancer. If your resting heart rate is 10 beats per minute increased, the risk for cardiovascular disease is increased by 15%. And for cancer, it's 18%. So those are big numbers. We see that after 4 weeks, the resting heart rate is decreased by 5 beats per minute on average. So that is half of this 10 beats per minute. And that suggests that also the risk of getting these diseases is halved. So that is, a strong effect.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the study here. So 9:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. five times a week. So 15 hours of this light for 4 weeks. It did that.
Yes. Yes. And in the meantime, I mean, you don't have to sit in front of the lamp and do nothing in the meantime. You can just work, read a book, listen to music, just live your normal life while you're also being irradiated with the near infrared light.
The average screen time of a smartphone user is 3 hours a day. So we have this saying inside the company, what if screen time were healthy?
Never.
And that's a reality. There's no reason we cannot put this technology in a phone. And getting back to your point, Michael, yeah, I guess we do have a moral obligation to put this out there because we're engineering the built environment to protect the earth at the expense of our own health. You know, that's not a great trade-off. It turns out we can break this trade-off by bringing infrared light back into lighting.
Lighting
in the home and personal devices.
I think the environmental movement could use like a rebrand. You know what I mean? I hate that. So I'm changing the subject here, but I mean, like, I'm human positive, man. I think humans are awesome. I love being human. I love living. And I think that we need to make these technologies available to everybody as soon as possible. I think we need to invent clean energy so we can use as much of it as we want. Like, clean energy as cheap as possible so people can use as much of it as they want. And that should be, like, I'm talking in Africa too. Like, so I think the environmental movement needs to rebrand itself to be human positive. And I love this technology because it's helping human beings. And I happen to be one of them, Greg Eric. And you know what? I can't wait to sell this invisible light to somebody. I think it's going to be hilarious. On the actual front ends, Dr. Behrens, of this business, right? The other end, you're at the research end, you make light fixtures or whatever. You're talking to other scientists and you guys have fun and you write papers and you put them out and your name's on the paper. Hooray for us, right? But on the other end of the industry, there's guys swinging through the trees with knives in their teeth trying to sell lighting projects, right? And we need, like there's so much snake oil, Dr. Krames, in the lighting industry in the past. It's a snake oil business, right? But now, for the first time, I think we're starting to see, you know, we had that skylight guy on the other day where what they do is they have this glass that makes it look like the actual natural sun is coming in. And this actually has a positive effect on people. Right? People, they've, you know, I don't know if they've proven it as heavily as duty as you guys have, but the visual effect of thinking that you're looking at a window, a frosted window, puts people in a better mood. And now we add this IR to it. Things look really, really exciting. We need clean energy, Dr. Krames, so we can do all these wonderful things. That's what we need. That's my opinion.
You know, it's interesting you brought up the lighting. I have my own concerns about that. And I guess I'll just say that the challenge is now is put out there. We are not only talking to lighting industry. We have a lot of inbound interest from consumer electronics companies. They don't have some of the same hangups in delivering new technologies on platforms that the lighting folks do, unfortunately for the lighting folks. So I do wonder if you're going to see this technology first come out in lighting products or in fact in consumer electronic appliances.
Go for it. I mean, wherever the battery life, like people are going to be plugging in their devices everywhere if it uses that much energy.
Well, again, it's a fraction of lighting. To give you an idea, when it's on, and by our calculations, a IR emitter in the smartphone that would do what we need to do is consuming about a watt of power, and it's not on all the time. So we mentioned, maybe 3 hours a day. So it is significant, but it's not crazy to consider that in a smartphone device even, and certainly not in something like a laptop or a dedicated accessory like I'm looking at now. I have a Logitech camera and I have some kind of Zoom illuminator. Any of those two devices, it would be absolutely no problem to integrate this technology into that.
Then I wouldn't visually see differently out of my phone, or it wouldn't look different to me, or would I have a little bit of effect? Nothing.
Not that we know. Anna mentioned, though, our desk lamps have the nice red glow. And it's interesting. It was a placebo study. And so the lamp without the IR LEDs, we had to put little red LEDs in there so people would think something was happening. Very dim. So that red glow is either optional or it's not, in the sense that there's a company in Japan we've come across who make little filters, films, that can block that red glow without blocking the infrared. So it looks feasible to have products where you can see that it's doing something. You can see that little glow. I actually like that personally, but if people really don't like it, people who are, really crazy about design, don't want anything messing with the design, then you can put various, pretty much any color you want, filter to block that red glow while still delivering the IR light. So it would be the way we think about it right now, Greg, one of those two things. You either see a red glow or you would see just nothing and have to, to Michael's point, kind of go on faith that it's actually doing something.
I guess one other, if you had too much of it, is that a problem? Like if you go, anytime my phone is on, it has infrared. Would that be a problem?
Anna, is too much IR a bad thing?
Yes, so you can have too much. But we designed our technology such that even if you're exposed 24 hours to your phone, you won't be overdosed. And in addition to that, I think it's fairly easy to put a timer system on it that counts the number of hours that you were exposed to the light. And then when you got your healthy dose, it just shuts off for the rest of the day. So I think the risk is not there. And there is also many possible solutions, technologies that will reduce the risk even further.
Keep in mind, guys, if you're using a smartphone with a face recognition, you're rating yourself with laser light every day. Your phone is rating in your face with tiny little lasers. They're all at low enough power, they're eye safe, but you're already experiencing infrared in a very interactive way. Many of us every day, we just don't know it.
There was a moment in 2020 when germicidal UV passive air disinfection had a chance to like really make a move into general lighting. And I think the window closed or whatever, but the mistake I thought they were, I really like the passive air disinfection technology a lot. I think it should be more widespread. I don't like surface disinfection. I'm very suspicious of that. I don't think it's a good idea. Maybe in airport washrooms or something like that, you'd deploy that, but passive air disinfection, I really like that technology. And I've always said to the manufacturers that you're missing you need to have a light on the thing that tells people what it's doing. You need, like when I was going around to these private schools in the beginning of the coronavirus pandemic or whatever, they wanted to show parents something, that they did something. and that this, you know, they wanted to, I'm like, yeah, you can put a passive air disinfection machine or an active air disinfection machine. Well, does it have a light on it that shows that it's disinfecting the air? So I can point to it to the parents that come in and say, look what we have here. Right. And so I think that red glow or something to this, even if it's not really doing anything, is a way that I think people need to be shown that this is happening and it's important. There's like a visual aspect to this. The visual part of the fake part of it, which is the visual light, I think is very important, Dr. Behrens, that you incorporate that into this. So whether it's on a smartphone or a table lamp or whatever, so that people can know that something is happening.
I agree. Yes. And thank you for the suggestion. I will definitely talk to our product developers about this. But yes, I completely agree that user feedback is important and some visual way to show that it's on and that it's also directed in the right direction so that people know that they are sitting in the right place, I think are really the things that we have to keep in mind.
Greg, I don't see this, just for the listeners, I think Dr. Crame's instinct that this is going to end up embedded in computers, smartphones, and cameras is probably correct. Can you see yourself as a lighting guy? I see it better as a trick played by Apple or something on everybody, and it helps them.
Yeah, I see the play more for the consumer electronic side, for sure. Phones, computers make sense. From general lighting, we're not really selling table lamps, you know, or anything. Can it get into the fixtures above me on the wall? Yeah. Will it? I don't know.
I don't know.
I guess, you know.
Yeah. Well, any final thoughts? Well, I guess we'll start with Dr. Crams for the Get a Grip on Lighting listeners.
No, I hope we were able to share a little bit about what Seabro is doing. It's super interesting, and it's great to talk with you guys and get your perspective on it, because you give us a lot of information, especially what we just talked about, Michael. I hope we will come to a solution where we lift all boats, you know, with this technology. I think we have an opportunity to do that and an obligation, as you pointed out. So thank you again for your time, gentlemen.
Dr. Behrens.
I completely agree with Mike, and thank you for having us. It was very nice talking to you and to see your enthusiasm about our technology. Maybe good to add that Seabro is a R&D company. So we do research and development. We work together with university and research institutes to do our research. And if anyone is interested to work together with us on either the research or the product development and commercial sides, then we are very open to partnerships. So if any of your listeners thinks, I want to know more, then I'm happy to talk.
And folks, you still got to screw in those Good Life TCP bulbs, Greg Eric. Come on, brother. Go to tcpi.com. Let the good times roll with Good Life. What is it? What a zero? What is it? Not 0 to 10 volt. What am I talking about here, Greg Eric? It's dim to warm. That's what I'm talking about. Warm dim.
Warm.
Yeah.
Mimics the effect of incandescent and halogen. Gives you that Kelvin shifting dim as you go down. And as you said before, you love living life. You might as well live the good one, right? Being a human. Cool.
Yeah. A real leader. You know what a real leader does, Greg Eric? He lets the good times roll. That's right. We need real leadership. Let the good times roll at tcpi.com. Of course, the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors. That's NALD.org. That's right. We're coming out hot. We got a huge announcement coming out soon, folks. Huge one coming out. Of course, the convention coming up in September. Be there. Be square. America's Lighting Convention in Dallas, Texas. That's right. And folks, all you out there, we don't have listeners or fans. You know it. We only have colleagues that don't do podcasts. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.